Good morning. It is so very good to see you. Thankful that we could be together. So as we are ready to open up our Bibles for a few minutes and to think together for a little bit, I want to say thank you for being here. And I am looking forward to spending a few minutes thinking about this concept, thinking about just how dangerous it is to be involved in lying, whether it's telling lies or believing lies. Talk about the dangers of lying today. I'm always interested in scientific research that has a moral implication about it. Sometimes it might be the case that there's a survey or something that has been shared that might be of interest, but I especially love it when there's been major investigations done and then significant pronouncements made. And often, you know, people are impressed. Sometimes some in the culture might be impressed to the point where they take notice. But what I think you see most of the time is that the student of the Bible says, well, that's right, we've known that all along. I had that feeling here recently, about a week ago, August 24th, when an article came out in the Washington Post. It was called "Why Liars Lie." That was the name of the article, "Why Liars Lie." And the first sentence of the article goes like this: "We all do it sometimes, even though we know it's wrong." I want you to note that right away. We know it's wrong. We recognize there is such a thing as the truth, and we recognize that we can know it. We have constant fights over who's telling the truth, not just in homes, but on, you know, major stages like in the political world. Isn't that one of the major fights that we always have? I'm telling the truth and you're a liar. No, I'm telling the truth and you're a liar. Well, by saying that, we're making the admission, well, there is the truth out there somewhere. It can be known. It's a matter of, is it you that knows it or if it's me that knows it? One of us has to be lying. We can't both be telling the truth whenever we're saying something that's opposite. So, we find it helpful when this is being laid out for us that we know that it is harmful to be a liar. It's harmful to be called a liar. And so none of us want to be part of that. Nobody among us wants to be known as the liar. That's not the way we want to be known. It's going to lead to a lot of problems, a lot of issues. So what's happened here is that modern research has confirmed what God has told us from the beginning. So here's the big pronouncement from this article, from this, you know, study that covered years and people. The announcement is this: lying is dangerous. That's what the study has confirmed. Okay? Well, that's good. I'm glad that that message is getting out there. It's what God has been telling us for forever. That there's danger in being either the one who is on the end that's lying or on the end that's receiving a lie. There's many, many dangerous aspects of lying. And so we want to talk about that, try and cover a lot of ground here in a short period of time where we think about the seriousness of this idea that lying is dangerous. At various times, we will bring up some of the research, some of the points that have been made. Here at the beginning, we're just going to talk about the danger of lying in a very general way, and later we'll talk about some of these specifics that the research has found for us. But I hope that you'll be interested in this, and I hope that you'll be challenged to examine yourself, first of all, in this way: am I the kind of person who is counted on to always, always tell the truth? Am I just absolutely known as a person who can be trusted, that's dependable, to not deceive? Not just with my words, but with anything. Am I the kind of person who's never known as a deceiver? But also this: have I been aware? Am I truly concerned with hearing the truth? Am I really concerned with making sure that what it is I'm hearing is the truth and I'm not being duped and wrong by lies? Because there are dangers both in telling as well as believing lies. So here's the first thing. Just three points we want to make today, very quickly, very easily. Three points made about the dangers of lying. The first danger of lying is that lies have the power to destroy. Too often, we don't consider just how powerful our words really are. In Proverbs chapter 18 at verse 21, the Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. God seeks to emphasize to you and to me that we need to recognize, we need to have our eyes wide open at how the things we say have an impact and they're powerful. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I can wound and I can be wounded with words. I can encourage and I can be encouraged just with words. Based upon what I believe, based upon what I teach, based upon what you believe, based upon what you teach, we know this. We can be destroyed or we can be given life. Just one lie can change everything. Let's look at three well-known examples here of how just one lie has the power to absolutely destroy. Go with me in your Bibles all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. An account here that you're very familiar with. You know very well here in Genesis 3. We're in the Garden of Eden. And we know that what the Lord has said in Genesis chapter 2 at verse 16 beginning, the Lord said to Adam and Eve, "You may eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day you eat of it you shall surely die." Well, so here's the lie in Genesis chapter 3 verse 4. Satan says, "You will not surely die." Now, that's pretty simple, right? Pretty easy to understand. The Lord had said, "You eat of this, you shall die." Satan comes along a short while later and says, "Not true. You won't die." So there's the lie. And we know that Satan is called the father of lies in John chapter 8, verse 44. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he's a liar and the father of lies, it says of Satan. Well, because of the fact that Adam and Eve believed the lie, they took part in the lie that Satan said, "Well, you won't die. Go ahead and do what you want to do. Go ahead and have some of this fruit from this tree. Go ahead and eat from the very tree that the Lord said don't eat from. It'll be fine." Because they believed that lie, here's how powerful it was to be engaged in that one lie. They were separated from God. They were driven from the garden, no longer able to walk with God in that palace, that place of paradise, as it were. As you look at Genesis 3, verses 22 through 24, we see plainly their whole lives changed. Everything they knew was turned upside down. And in fact, what's really beyond our ability to really comprehend is that they changed. In some fundamental kind of way, they were not the same anymore. The lie had the power to destroy. To destroy their connection, their special place there, their home. It destroyed everything by believing and acting on that lie that Satan told. A lie has the power to destroy. We've been taught that from the beginning. The next one is this. Fast forward in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 13. And in 1 Kings 12 and 13, we're dealing with King Jeroboam. Now, King Jeroboam, you'll see in 1 Kings 12, King of Israel is going to do a number of things that are just, for no other way to put it, they are wicked. Okay? He changes the object of worship to golden calves. That's chapter 12, verse 28. He changes the place of worship from Jerusalem to Dan and Bethel. That's verse 29. He changes the priesthood to those, allows it to include people who are not Levites. That's verse 31. He changed the time of worship from the seventh month until the eighth worship. That's verse 32. So this is just a little bit. You see here, it was this type of wickedness that's going on that the king is just like, I'll do whatever I want with worship. I'll make it when I want, where I want, who I want. I'll say how you worship. Wait a minute. God's already done that. God has already very plainly told them, I tell you when and where and how. You don't get to change that. Well, so here's what happens. That's just sort of the background. We're not even really talking about King Jeroboam here. That's just what's happening in the world when this happens. Go to 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1. A man of God came out of Judah by the word of the Lord to go to Bethel. So this prophet is sent by God to go stand in front of Jeroboam and tell him, you cannot keep doing this. You must change. You have to reorganize, reorient the way you think and teach. You've got to change what you're doing here, king, because the God of the universe won't allow you to keep this up. Okay. He delivers his message. And part of this, when he tells the king what's going to happen, you know, the king stretches out his arm He says, "Seize this man," and his arm seizes up in some kind of miraculous way. It's used in such a way that he can't use it anymore. It's been made, rendered useless. And so he turns to the man of God. The king says, "Help me, plead with your God to restore my arm." The man of God pleads with God, prays to God, and the king's arm is restored. And so the king says, "Come home with me. I want to shower you with blessings and riches. I'm going to treat you like the king's special guest." He says, "I can't do that. I've already been told by God I've got to go home another way, not to stay here, not to eat. I'm supposed to give you this powerful message and get back home." And so the king says, "Okay, see you, thanks." And so he's on his way. He's going to leave. But another prophet is there in town, it says. And he hears what this man has done. He hears what the message was that he gave the king. He hears what happened to the king's arm, the way he was miraculously first hurt and then healed. And he says, "I want to spend some time with this guy. Bring him to my house." And this is what happens. That man's sons go and stop this prophet and say, "Come back with us." He says, "I can't. God told me to go another way." And this guy says, "Guess what? I've been given a new message from heaven. You're allowed to come home with me. I'm a prophet too." And here's what the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 18. He lied. That older prophet lied to this younger prophet. God had told him specifically what not to do. But this prophet believed the lie. Now, the older prophet's the one who lied. What happens to this younger man? Look at chapter 13, verse 24. It says that he was killed by a lion as he was on his way back home. Can you imagine this scene? I can't imagine it. I can picture these three things. I can picture a dead body, I can picture a donkey, and I can picture a lion. But to picture all three of them just sitting there together. Here's this lion, and here's this donkey, and here's this dead body. To show for every person that comes by, here is unbelievable evidence. You need to listen to God. You believe a lie, you'll be in trouble. Because that's all this man did, was he believed the lie. He'd been told clearly from God what to do. He'd been told clearly from God what his future should be. You come home after telling this story. And he stayed to eat, and he was destroyed. Lies have the power to destroy. Just because we're sincere doesn't change. You see, this principle remains valid. From here, from 1 Kings chapter 12 and 13, it remains valid. Sincerity is valuable. Sincerity is important. But we must be sincere in believing the truth. To sincerely believe a lie is to believe a lie, and that leads to death. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether or not they're from God." Lies have the power to destroy. We have to recognize that, whether it's telling them or believing them. The third example is this, Ananias and Sapphira. I hope you're in Acts chapter 5 this time. And in Acts chapter 5, here's the feeling of the day, the spirit of the age in the church right now at this time is one of trying to help, trying to cooperate. Anybody and everybody who needed something was very, very soon supplied by their brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what it says in Acts 4, 32 through 37. When anybody had a need, the other brothers and sisters made sure that need was filled. And so that's kind of the spirit. Everybody's going around, "Do you need help? Do you need help? How can I help? You need extra money? I'll give you money. Do you need to sell something? I'll sell something. What can I do to help? I want to be a part of this great thing." Well, so Ananias and Sapphira, they sort of catch that spirit too. And they want to be a part of all this helping. And Ananias and Sapphira say to themselves, "Well, we've got this extra tract of land over here. I think we will sell it. And then we'll give some of the money to the church. But what we'll do is we'll tell them we're giving it all." And that's the problem. As you see here, the confrontation in Acts 5, verses 1 through 11, when Ananias comes before the apostle, he says, "Now tell me, wasn't this yours? You know, you didn't have to sell this land. And then once you did sell the land, you didn't have to give us any of the money. Your land, your money, you could do what you want with it. So why is it you have kept part of it and told us you've given all of it? Your life is required." And then very short order, after they've come and taken his body out, then the wife Sapphira comes in and he asks her the same type things. "Is it true that this is the price you sold the land for?" "Oh yeah, that's it." You see, here's what happens. They wanted to be seen as generous. They wanted to be seen as selfless. But they really wanted to keep some of the money. They chose to sell this particular piece of land and keep part of the money while telling everybody they donated the whole amount. This lie cost them their lives. Verse 5, verse 10. So here's the eternal principle. To lie to God is going to cost us our lives. To be known as a liar, that can destroy all kinds of opportunities. It can destroy opportunities to work. What employer would want to hire someone who can't be trusted? To be known as a liar can destroy opportunities for lasting friendships. Who wants to share their secrets? Who wants to spend quality time with someone who can't be trusted? But more than that, lies can destroy more than just a reputation. I want you to think about a couple of these passages with me. In Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, verses 16 and 17. In Proverbs 6, 16, the Bible says there's these seven things that are an abomination to God. You know what an abomination is? In this type of setting, an abomination is something that disgusts me to such a degree I want to put it out of my sight. That makes me so disgusted, I don't even want to get it away from me. Get it out of here. That's what an abomination is. And it says in Proverbs 6:16 that one of the things, actually verse 17, one of the things that are an abomination to God are those that have lying lips. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to God. Those with lying lips, God is disgusted by, doesn't want to see, doesn't want to be in his presence, as it were. That's the image that's being conjured up. And then it goes so far as this, at the very end of Scripture, in Revelation chapter 21, at verse 8, on that long list of people like the murderers and the sexually immoral, it says, all liars will find that their portion is in the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, which is the second death. Lies have the power to destroy. The dangerous thing about lying is that it can destroy us. Believing a lie can destroy us. Telling a lie can destroy us. There is danger in the lie. Evermore, we ought to be committed to both sharing and knowing, hearing the truth. And here's the next thing that comes out of the study that ought to concern us. This research that's been done here recently and shared with us tells us that lies change us. Here's the statement from the research. Here's the problem with lying. Research shows that the more you lie, the easier it gets, and the more likely you are to do it again. Well, I don't think we needed any scientists to tell us that. Common sense, mere observation tells us that. But listen to this. Here's the next statement. The dangerous thing about lying is people don't understand how the act changes us. Now, this is coming from behavioral psychologists. The act of lying changes us, they say. Scientifically speaking, once you start down this road, you're likely to end up in a place you don't want to be. It gets easier and easier. We tell more and we tell more. Here's another statement from the article. Give people the opportunity to lie for their benefit, and they will start with little lies, and then those little lies will get bigger and bigger and bigger over time. Now think about this with me. Think about some of these things I've just read to you. These haven't been from passages of Scripture. These haven't been from those people who are overly concerned about morals. This is from those who have done research just about lying. And they say, scientifically speaking, this is what happens next. He said, when they are given an opportunity to lie for their benefit, they'll do it. Well, what are they saying here? Why do people lie? Well, it seems that people will lie because they have a fear of damaging their reputation. It seems people will lie because they have a fear of physically getting hurt. It seems people lie because they have a greed for money. It seems people will lie because they have a greed for praise from their peers. So this study suggests that people turn to deception when the truth becomes troublesome. This means they turn away from the truth and they turn to a lie when they don't like the way that the truth sounds. When we don't like the way the truth is going to make us look, we share something else. But very soon we're living a double life, if you will. And you got to know telling lies is actually hard work. So if you're into doing extra stuff and hard stuff, then tell lots of lies. But if you're into making life easier for yourself, tell the truth. In a lie, you have to construct a situation you haven't really experienced. You have to create an alternative universe and keep all the different scenarios straight. That's hard work. Soon you're changed. To tell lies gets easier. You're absorbed into these false narratives easier and easier. The scientists tell us lies change us. Look at what Scripture tells us. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. I want you to recall a story, again, a historical event you know well, David and Bathsheba. You've been hearing it all your life. You know that what David does at the time he should have been out with the army, he's there on the rooftop, brings Bathsheba to himself, and then the ball really starts rolling down the hill in an ugly way, right? Really has to start putting one case of deception on top of another case of deception. One sin has led to this lie and that lie and this case of cover-up and on. So as David's deception, it just grew and it grew. In fact, David's deception finally grew to the point he didn't even realize how far he had gone. He didn't even realize how wicked he really was acting. You see, the modern day scientists would have said, yes, see, the lying changed him. He didn't realize that he got to this point. He didn't realize who he was there. He was being changed into somebody that didn't have compassion. He was being changed into somebody who couldn't see the sin in himself. He was being changed into someone who couldn't see value in other people. And that's not who he wanted to be. David did not want to be a guy devoid of passion. David didn't want to be a guy who couldn't see sin in himself. David didn't want to be a guy who couldn't see other people as valuable. But that's exactly what he became. He'd been changed to the point he didn't recognize himself. He'd been changed to the point he didn't recognize what was going on. Lies change us. Thankfully, there was the prophet sent by God who told him that story, and it finally shook him up. He finally came to himself and said, the person who's acting this way needs to be, you're the man. And that veil was lifted back from his face. He could see the deception. He could see the lies. He could see how he'd hurt others. He could see how he'd sinned before God. And he wept. We need to be changed. But changed into people who look and act and think more and more like Jesus Christ. We need to be changed by the truth, not destroyed by lies. In Romans chapter 12 at verse 2, the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world. Another way of understanding that phrase might be this. Don't be changed by this world to look and think and speak like it. Don't be changed to be like the world. Don't be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So you may be able to accept and understand what's true. In Hebrews chapter 5 at verse 14, the Bible says it's solid foods for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. We seek to be changed, but for the better. We seek to be changed, but to be more like Jesus Christ. Be aware that one of the dangerous things about lies is that lies change us, and not for the better. And that brings us to the final concept for this morning. Lies distance us from God. The more lies that we tell, the more lies that we're involved in, make us more and more and more unlike God. Now, if I would ask you this morning, what is your ultimate goal? I would imagine that most would say, well, my goal is to live with God. You know, to glorify God now and then live with Him forever. Well, if that's your goal, if your goal is to be with God forever, then I think you would also understand that what must be done is that right now I must seek to live a life of submission. I must seek to live a life of obedience to God. Read with me in Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 9, and I want you to see the way that Scripture puts together this concept of telling the truth and being like God. Colossians 3 at verse 9, the Bible says, do not lie to one another, okay? Don't tell each other lies. Don't be a liar. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. So the old self was one that was caught up in lies. The new self is one that's distanced himself from that. And this is also the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Being made more and more like the creator is the one who is more and more involved in knowing and telling the truth. One of the most challenging passages in all of Scripture, in my estimation, is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Where in Ephesians 5, 1, it says this to us, be imitators of God. Now, if that's not a heavy thought, I don't know what is, be an imitator of God. Well, in that context of Ephesians chapter 5, it's telling us, among other things that we know about God, what we know about God is this, Hebrews 6:18, it's impossible for him to lie. We know that Jesus Christ is the truth. He said in John 14:6, I'm the way, truth, and life. You don't go to the Father but by me. Well, so in the context of Ephesians 5:1, and being told to be an imitator of God, we're told that a whole lot of what it is to imitate God is bound up in and tied up to the way that we speak. Ephesians chapter 4, if you start at verse 25 and go all the way through 5:4, it says in Ephesians 4, verse 25, speak the truth to each other. Be someone who speaks the truth. Verse 29, so Ephesians 4, 29, don't let any corrupt talk come out of your mouth. Well, that's not only, it's not limited to filthy language. Corrupt language is also lies. Don't let those things come out of your mouth. So if I'm going to imitate God, one of the things I'm going to seek to do is I'm going to always seek to tell the truth. To tell lies distances me from God. To believe lies distances me from God. And so it's quite plain that based on that, based on what we read in Scripture, that lying deserves punishment. Part of the results of this study that we've been talking about this morning, it drove the experts to say that the one who tells a lie should be held accountable. Listen to this statement from a behavioral psychologist from Duke University. As a society, we need to understand that when we don't punish lying, we increase the probability it'll happen again. This is what God's been telling us all along. Liars will be held accountable. God is trustworthy. We must be trustworthy. Each lie I speak drives more and more of a wedge, more and more distance between me and my God. So what is it that I'm trying to keep? What is it I'm trying to gain? If my treasure or my goal is really God, I'm going to speak the truth and believe only the truth. If my treasure or goal is really eternity in heaven, then I'm going to speak the truth and seek to believe only the truth. Modern research has just confirmed for us something that God's been telling us for forever. The dangerous thing about lying is that it has the power to destroy. It has the power to change us, and it makes us less and less like God, and it just distances us from Him moment for moment. In 1 Peter chapter 3 that was read for us, we're going to end where we started today. The public reading from 1 Peter 3 today. And in verse 10, the Bible says this, whoever desires to love life and see good days, notice this, is that what you want? You want to live a good life? You want to enjoy good days, enjoy a life blessed by God? Whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and keep his lips from speaking deceit. The truth is, Jesus is the only way. The only way. If I want to speak in such a way that speaks the truth about Jesus, I will speak the fact that Jesus is the only Savior. I will acknowledge that He is the Lord. I will acknowledge that He is the one who rose from the grave, thus releasing me from the fear of death. I will acknowledge that what I must do is repent of sins in order to be saved. That what I must do is be washed in a watery grave, brought up to a new life, added to the church by His power if I seek to be saved. This is just the tip of the iceberg. This is the beginning of a life in Christ of telling and living the truth. Lies tear us away from God. The truth brings us closer. The truth is Jesus is the only way. And we invite you this morning to follow Him. If there's any way that we can help you do that, what we seek to do with every ounce of our ability, what we seek to do is to share the truth. We'll seek to help you walk that walk if you'll come while we stand and sing.